We started looking at the concept of discipleship. And let me just put this timer on. Don't keep you forever. But let's pray. Let's start on that. It's a new year. It's exciting. It's exciting to be in the house of God. We're expectant of the year ahead, what God has prepared for us. And what a blessing just to be with brothers and sisters tonight and draw near together. So let's pray and get into the Word. Father, we thank you for your presence here. God, we thank you that we can come together like this, Lord, and worship you, Lord, that we can lift you up over the city, over our lives, Lord, that we can declare your kingdom over this place. We can declare you rule and reign. Jesus Christ, the name above every other name. We lift up your name in this place, God. We thank you that we can do this openly, Father, and we do not have to be ashamed. We just declare that tonight, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for whoever believes, God. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you that as we consecrate ourselves tonight, as we set this time aside, Lord, we figuratively take off our shoes because this is holy ground, Lord. We know this is precious to you, Lord, and we draw near and we humble ourselves to receive from you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we thank you for your presence. And we welcome you to come and have your way in and through us tonight. And let your name be glorified in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in terms of New Year's resolutions, actually, I'm not running ahead of myself, but I'll say something about that. Do you have any? You got a list? In terms of looking at discipleship, if you hadn't listened to Pastor Tien's sermon from when was he? He was in last weekend in November. No, the first one in December, wasn't it? Like the first or something, or the second. In any case, Pastor Tien's was here from Cape Town. If you missed that, the recording is not yet on the Wimbledon site, but it is on the Weybridge one. So please go to that one. We're a little bit behind on the Wimbledon ones. Some technical reasons. So please do, have a look. Most of the sermons, similar ones, are on that site as well. So you kind of get the downloads there. We started looking at the concept of discipleship, and we're going to look a little bit more at it, and hopefully touch on it as we go through the year. And I think it's going to be one of the focuses for the year, so that's something to look forward to. Growing up, my dad is an architect. And so growing up, I was used to that stuff, with a big drawing board in the house before the days of AutoCAD and all these fancy programs they have these days. So I was used to, little models and all kinds of interesting things, building sites to a certain extent. And if we had to build a model for school, guess who's had the coolest, funkiest model ever? but I did have some help, I must admit. But this sparked a bit of an interest in the bit of construction and buildings and things like that. Not too much, but just a little bit. But I'm also always curious when walking past a building site. But sometimes they make it difficult. You see how they wall off these building sites these days. So there's this huge wall and this stuff happening in there. There's trucks coming and going. And you see a lot of activity, but there's nothing. You can see nothing happening. You with me? And then this goes on for months sometimes. And then there's still nothing. Nothing being built. And then, I don't know about you, I get curious, And then sometimes it happens, you walk past and you're there at the right moment and the gate is open and then you see this huge chasm going down. And you realize, okay, these guys aren't going up, they're going down, going towards China or something. But then you realize, okay, if you look at how deep they're going, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be massive. So the amount of steel and concrete and this, the depth of those foundations is mind-boggling. If you look, obviously, like the tall buildings of the world, it's crazy how deep they go to lay a proper foundation and to make sure that the thing is secure. I remember actually when I was in the Air Force in South Africa, this might actually be confidential information. Just keep it to yourself. No, I'm sure it's fine. But no, we at the Air Force HQ in I won't say where it is. How's that? Okay. There's more floors. There are more floors under the ground than above the ground. So that's a bit odd. That doesn't normally happen. But the reason for that is that would be the kind of nuclear proof headquarters if South Africa were to be in a nuclear attack. So if you're around and you need a place to hide, that's the good place to go in the case of a nuclear attack. It's useful information. Okay, but don't tell anybody. But that's different. Okay, you don't always find that. So there were more floors underneath than there were above. It's a very ugly building, but it was obviously had a purpose. But an interesting thing in India, and in the East, if you've been if you traveled in the East, you would have seen this. Interesting how they build. Firstly, the scaffolding they use is. Dave, you'll know, it's scary. It's just like, it looks like it's never going to hold anything. And it almost looks a bit of erratic and obviously not up to any health and safety standards that we're used to here. But what's interesting there, what I've seen, is they build to a certain level, and then a lot of the buildings that you see around you are homes and different types of buildings, office blocks, etc., are built to a certain level, but then you can see they've actually left capacity for more. So they've got like steel rods sticking out the roof, and they've got like pillars, like they're ready to expand. I like that. You know, it's kind of, okay, we're not there yet, but we're leaving space for growth, type of thing, which is cool, you know. But the amazing, obviously, the important thing then is to, you can only go as high as your foundation will allow. So unfortunately, there was a building, and that was where, I think it was in the Philippines somewhere, that they did actually add and added and added, and then they added too much. And then there was an earthquake, and although most of the city was fine, this one wasn't fine. So, you know, the foundations that are laid, those deep, solid, steel-reinforced foundations are absolutely crucial to the rest of the building. Okay, you with me? Cool. We should go and visit the building site in there. but that's kind of makes a lot of sense, and even spiritually we kind of can pull some parallels there. But let's have a look at the word, and let's look at what Christ says in Matthew chapter 7. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's actually there says a lot of things from the beginning of chapter 7 that are kind of leading up to this. But I'm going to start at verse 21. It says, "And not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," I'm referring to this and before, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," so hearing and doing, right? "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So if we look here, interestingly enough, the focus here in terms of actually entering into the kingdom, and entering into eternal life, and actually, you know, spending eternity with God, from a point of obviously having been born again, he speaks about obedience to the Word of God. And he speaks very clearly, he differentiates between someone that hears and does and someone that hears but doesn't do. So both parties have heard. I think this is the kind of the key here, and I suppose the challenge for the church, well, maybe on a larger scale for us as well, is that the reality is, I believe, that there are a lot of people out there, maybe even in our midst, you know, something that we need to look at, that we hear often, but we do not put it into practice. So, And the scary thing is, if you and I have a quick think, I can think of a few, but think of people who have started off very well in the relationship with God, flourishing, growing, lots of potential, looking like, wow, this person is obviously anointed and there's a call on their life, and we see them growing and it's exciting and it's blessed. And then something happens. And then, you know, either a difficult situation or a struggle they're going through, and when we look again, we realize this person is drifting away. And I've seen that happen once or twice, and it's not good to see. And obviously, you know, you try what you can. But the reality is we know that happens. People fall away. And that's, you know, I suppose that's kind of the storms that Christ is talking about. And if you look at Scripture, especially when Christ speaks, he makes us some promises, right? Now, one of the less popular promises of Jesus is the one about tribulation and troubles, that kind of thing. But unfortunately, those are also guaranteed, right? So he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And he says, there will be testing times, there will be struggles. And he almost says, guys, this is inevitable. It's going to happen. Okay, so let's just make peace with that before you get depressed. He also says, I have overcome the world. Okay, so he just reminds us that he has won the victory, and that we, you know, he's finished, you know, read the end of the book, and we win in the end. Christ has won the victory, so don't stress. But the reality is we can't avoid the storms, okay? There will be storms. And I see on the faces some of you have experienced some. That's good. There will be storms, and we can't avoid them. They're going to come. We can't avoid the storms. But what we can do is we can make sure that we build something that is storm-proof. Amen? That we build in a way that is a foundation and a building, if you look at our lives like that, that is able to withstand the storms of life. And not only in our own lives, but also if we're talking about discipleship in the lives of people that we are walking a road with. And that is our challenge, I believe, coming up. And one of the main focuses, I believe, for us for this year is, what are we building? Are we building something that's stormproof? How are we building? How are we being discipled? How are we as disciples, but then how are we discipling as well? How are we building something that is stormproof? And that's at the core of what we're going to look at this evening, this afternoon, but also later in the year. Now, in terms of spiritual foundations, I'm just going to touch on a few key ones this morning. It's one of the things that's a continual process. As Tiens was saying, you know, we are called to be like Christ. Okay, so if you're wondering about this year and having a New Year's resolution, a guy at the conference, actually, Rick Russo, I don't know if I mentioned this, but he said something that made me think. He said, often when you do stuff like New Year's resolutions, I don't know, does anybody still do that? Not so good. Make a list, you know, oh, I want to jog every morning and yeah, become taller and stuff like that, you know? Erna is that? No, I'm just kidding. It's joking. Abigail is that on the list. But no, he says what we often tend to do when we make lists like that, or we look at growth, stuff like that, we think in terms of action. So we think in terms of, okay, I want to do this this year, I want to do this better, and I want to improve on this. And we look in terms of, what am I going to do? And he reckons that's the reason why often it doesn't last very long, is because it just comes from the, let me just do this thing. He says, what we should start at is, who do I want to become? Right? And then saying, okay, I want to become a better dad, for instance. What is it going to take for me to achieve that? What is it going to take for me to see that change in my life? What changes need to happen in the way I act for me to be a better father? Are you with me? And that makes a lot of sense, because then we have a clear goal and a clear objective in mind, and we're just putting steps in place that are going to get us to that place of change. Are you with me? So this also makes a lot of sense when we look in terms of discipleship, because we are called. I don't know if I have this scripture somewhere. I think I mentioned it before. But we are called to be transformed, conformed to the image of Christ. And the good news is, if you're wondering about this year, as I was saying, and the New Year's resolution, that's a good place to start. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen? We are being destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So whether you're an accountant or a rocket scientist or a domestic engineer, or you know, at home with the children, or whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whether you're studying or whatever you're doing, wherever you God has put you now, He's put us, even you know, if you're a pastor or whatever, we're there to become like Christ. And I reckon often we miss it because we're going through a tough time and it's hectic, you know, wheels are coming off and we're just barely surviving. And we're like, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know what, if I can just make it through this hectic time, then I can, you know, grow further in my walk with God. Let me just survive. Let me just put my head down. I need to just, you know, get through this, and then, you know, I can build further on that. And I can just imagine God saying, no, you're missing it. I've put you there so that you can become like Christ. I've put you in that spot for the reason that you can be conformed to His image. Okay, so if you've ever wondered why you're in a certain place or why you're going through something, that's probably it. Good news, right? Are you with me? Okay. But strong spiritual foundations are formed by obedience to the Word of God. And that's what Christ also focuses on in Matthew 7. That's where the foundation starts. And I'm going to look at, we're going to look at a diagram. I did draw it last time on the whiteboard. Did I? Yeah, did I manage that? Okay, I did a PowerPoint version. It's not much better, I must say. The whiteboard one. Can you see my autistic family coming through there? Not really. I didn't get that, but my whole family is autistic. It's scary. Anyway. Okay, so what we looked at, and we're going to look at this a few times so we familiarize with yourself with this. Just a very simple... Well, the actual study behind it wasn't so simple, but what the guys did is interviewed a whole lot of people, and what they're trying to figure out is what causes spiritual growth, what causes it to stop, and what causes it to, you know, what causes people to grow spiritually, and what causes people to stagnate. And they had a few, you know, obviously quite a number of people that they interviewed, and they came up with this, and it actually does make sense. So what they say is once... You know, from having an encounter with God and being born again, and then having encounters with God and gaining knowledge with God causes that first growth spurt, okay? So we get, you know, we are born again, we hear about God, we are saved, we grow in our knowledge, and we gain a lot of understanding, we gain a lot of knowledge, and there's incredible growth that happens. And I think most of us have experienced that. But what they found is that if that stays there, if that's all that happens, is that encounter and there's gaining of knowledge, then there's a kind of a plateau that happens. And what they found then is the next one, if you want to grow from that place, what needs to happen is then certain lifestyle disciplines need to be established. So from the gaining of knowledge and encounters with God, there has to be a lifestyle change, which makes sense, right? And these aren't necessarily in chronological order. Some, yes, but not necessarily. But I reckon the next thing that is very important is for disciplines and lifestyle changes to be implemented. For instance, the Word, reading the Word, prayer, communication with God, you know, that basic stuff, giving, serving in the kingdom, serving in church, serving in the community, kind of an outflow ministry type of thing, as well as... giving and an outflow, right? Part of that, I suppose, also stuff like fasting and prayer I mentioned, but the disciplines that we go through. We look at that more in detail. And what they found, even when those disciplines are in place and those and that lifestyle change has happened, going to church, in fellowship with the saints, all those things. Even when those have happened, there is still a plateau that happens. And what they found is that the next kind of growth spurt, and that kind of goes into a bit of a spiral of growth, if you can call it that, upwards, is what they say is that they need to take ownership. And what they found is when that moment where you take ownership of something or someone, okay, so it's either a ministry or a something in church, or it could be obviously walking with a person. That place of ownership of something, and I've seen this actually in my own life, is then that takes you back again to that first bit, because now you're responsible for something. So now you're like seeking God and you're having a different kind of encounter with God. And I've experienced my relationship with God change when my focus went from myself to ministering to others. And now you're kind of gaining knowledge again, and you're seeking God in that thing, and then you have to make lifestyle changes because you're responsible for this thing now, and you're taking ownership of something. So there is kind of an upward spiral of growth that happens. And I want us to kind of keep this in the back of our minds as we go forward, and I'll refer to it more than once. But not only as a kind of thinking, okay, where am I at? What am I going through? But also the person that I'm walking with, the person in my small group, person that I'm praying for, the person that I'm reaching out to at work, where are they at? How can I walk this road with them? Where are we going? It's almost not a game plan, but just a rough idea of what to look out for. Are you with me this evening? Okay. Now, I'm just going to look at three. Okay, just before we get to those, in terms of obedience, looking at the foundations of spiritual growth, spiritual foundations are found in obedience to the word. If we look at Hebrews chapter 5 from 7, and this is talking about Christ. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we see even Christ having to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. And absolutely key here, obedience to God in our relationship with him. And then he says, interestingly enough, then having been perfected, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. And again, to all who obey him. So very much a thing of, okay, we hear the word, now we need to obey, now we need to put it into practice. And that's one of those things, I believe that's one of those spiritual foundations. When we come to Christ, when we start growing, and that when you're walking a road with someone, that needs to, that's something that needs to be established right at the beginning. The commitment to, or the decision that we make, that once I've had a revelation of something in Scripture, once I've seen something in Scripture, and I've had a conviction about it, and I realize, wow, this is the truth. Sometimes it happens, you realize you don't agree with Scripture. Have you had that? It's not cool when that happens. But then you realize, how can Jesus say this? This is ridiculous. This is completely politically not correct. And, are you ever offended when you read the word? But, a friend of mine always used to say, when he finds he doesn't agree with God, he knows, he has to repent, which is a good start, I suppose. So then he repents. Repentance means to change your mind, to change the way you think, and then also to change the way you act. But he says he repents until he agrees with God. All right? And then he knows he's right. And then he takes it from there. And he's quite an in-your-face type of guy, so he will tell you, this is it. Because now God and I agree, so you better not tell me otherwise. But in any case, so the The big thing is obviously being ready to change, being ready to grow, and we've spoken about that, committing to grow, committing to change. But the key here is once I've had a revelation of Scripture, to discipline myself to say, okay, I need to implement. I can't just, wow, this is cool, this is nice. You know, I had this way, I speak to Anku in the week, hey, Anku, I read this amazing thing. And, you know, I had this revelation. Now, what Anku should say is, okay, Anku, but how are you going to, how is that going to work in your life? What is going to change? How are we going to implement that? How are you going to obey that what God has laid on your heart? Okay. So, revelation and then immediately action and change. And I suppose that is the, they had this joke in Shofar about change, continual change. But I suppose it is like in our relationship with God. There's a continual growth. There's a continual challenge to grow and a challenge to change. And that's, in intercession, actually, that is one of the big things that we, I reckon the purpose of intercession is, and that you can learn there, is we seek the face of God, we hear what He has to say, and then we act on that. So whether it is in prayer, or whether it is in action, or whatever it is, we hear and we act. So that's the whole point. So if you need to grow in that, join us. We might change the time, or we might have another time to pray to accommodate more people. We'll let you know. But join us there. Okay, so we're going to look at a few basic foundations. I'll have to be quick. I won't have time to go into a lot of detail today, but we're going to look at in the first stage. If you think about your own life and also about somebody you're walking with, three of the main things that need to be in place when you're establishing foundations. You've got a runner. Okay. Focus this side. Alrighty. Okay, so we're going to look at faith, we're going to look at the Word, and we're going to look at church community very briefly. Firstly, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So firstly, we need to be established in our faith, okay? This is not rocket science. We need to be established in what we believe. We need to be established on the ins and outs of our, you know, what is it that I believe? Why am I a Christian? Why do I believe in God? And to be honest with you, when I had a personal experience, saving experience with God, it was very real, okay? Very much, I know I had a relationship with God, and I had an experience with God. But for many years after that, I didn't really bother to look into the... I couldn't really explain it in much depth to somebody. I just knew what I knew. And if I had to explain it to somebody, I would have struggled. And it was only later on, and I want to challenge you with this, that when I came in, you know, did the spiritual growth series and stuff like that, that I got to a place of saying, okay, I'll probably be able to explain to somebody what I believe and what salvation is all about. But it was only when I had to teach that to somebody, when Pastor Sears said the first time that I should prepare to teach one of the sessions, that's the time when I really got to grips with the things. And it's only when you and I, often it's like this, only when you and I actually have to explain to somebody else and have to tell somebody else that we really get to the nuts and bolts of what we believe. So I want to challenge you, are you able to walk that road with somebody? This is what I believe. This is what I believe about God. This is what I believe about Jesus, about the cross, about the resurrection. And, okay, so, but listen again, this is not something you need to have five theological degrees around, okay? As you walk the road, you're able to share it with somebody. And that we do, especially when we're newly saved. Yo, you know what, I heard at church yesterday, and then we share it. And it just flows over. And that's great. That's a good place. Another way of building up our faith, Jude writes, to pray in the Spirit, to build yourself up in your faith, exercising spiritual gifts, having that outflow, ministry outflow. That's one of the things we need to shift, I think, in the way we think. You don't have to be saved for millions of years before you can pray for somebody. Pastor Fred said the other day, the best evangelist is the one that got saved yesterday. Just the zeal for God, that excitement about it. We need to shift our minds from that thing of, no, only the experts, only the guys that have studied, only the guys that have have titles and whatever degrees. We need to shift from that. Okay, and I think that's something we need to focus on in terms of making disciples, that people get an opportunity to minister to one another as soon as possible. So I want to encourage you in small group, don't hold back. Share what you want to share. Encourage people. Pray for one another. Share words. Exercise the gifts. Amen. Okay. Alrighty. Wrong one. Right, then let's look at Psalm 1. This is a good psalm to memorize. Okay, this is going to change your life. Trust me, if you memorize this. Okay. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So there we go. That's a seriously important foundation right there. The love for the Word, a relationship with the Word of God. Cultivating a love, developing a capacity for the Word. And just in terms of practical tip or practical way of doing it, at the beginning of the year, if you haven't done this, I want to encourage you to try at least, to do it. there's a lot of reading plans available. If you want to read through the scripture in a year, it's a brilliant exercise. One that I really enjoy is a chronological one. Makes it a bit interesting. There's one that's called the Cover to Cover. It's an actual book where they've kind of set it out. But you can get them online as well. If you struggle, email me and I can look for a link for you. Basically, instead of reading the Bible as it's written, because it can get hectic working through your way through Genesis and Leviticus, etc. But what they then do is they do it chronologically. So you have a bit of Genesis and then a bit of Job and a bit of Psalms in between, because they do it as it happened and not necessarily as it was written. Are you with me? Okay. Yeah, so if you want to do something like that, I want to really encourage you. If you want to even do a little WhatsApp group and encourage one another and keep one another accountable, yeah, I want to really encourage you to do that. We need to, this is one of the key foundations. And interestingly enough, or a bit scary, if you look at the average believer in the average church and you ask them how much time they spend in Scripture, I think we will be shocked. It was one of those things that we know and we say and we talk about it, but somehow to actually have the discipline and actually have it as part of a lifestyle is often sometimes not in place. So that is a key one. So it's the faith, it's being established in the faith, being established in the Word, and then lastly, in the body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So what he's talking about here, he's talking about the fellowship of the saints, talking about assembling of ourselves together, exhorting one another, and what he specifically mentions here as well, stir up love and good works. That's cool, eh? Stirring up in one another. I know we do some stirring. I think we stir the wrong things. What is that game that we used to play? Risk. Have you played Risk with saved people? Yeah, it almost ruined an outreach I was on once. So we banned it. No, but let's not. Sorry. What happened is, you know how people do alliances? It's this thing where you have to take over the world. It's great. It's a cool game. And you have to have war and on the board, I think the board game. And then what people do is they have alliances between one another and they work together. And then obviously somewhere down the line, somebody wants to win. So then suddenly the allegiance is cancelled without the person knowing, and then it's often there's offense. Okay, has it happened? I can see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, so we don't play that in our house. It hasn't. Any case. But, and we, it's banned from outreaches now. I'm just joking, but it was quite serious at that stage. How did I get there? Okay, yeah, so not stirring up that stuff, offenses and things, but stirring up, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. But he's talking here about us coming together. So those places where we come together at church and at small group, where we minister to one another. Not, and the thing is, not only there, okay? The place when you and I, when we go cycling together, or when we, whatever we do together, watch the rugby, or, you know, whatever we do, that we understand this is precious, this is important, this is blessed to God when we stir up love and good works in one another. Not only in the formal gatherings, but also just as we meet up in whichever capacity. And you know what? Part of this whole being part of a body and being part of church, being planted in a body, is accountability. And often we talk about accountability, we talk about blind spots, and you know, you're not having somebody that can help you with the blind spots that we have, and that is true. But more than that, we need to be accountable in terms of our obedience to Christ. What am I doing with what God has given me? Am I, you know, accountable for the vision that God has given me? Have I heard from God about my workplace or my finances or whatever it is, or my relationship? Am I being accountable to somebody for being a steward of that good God has entrusted to me? Are you with me? So it's not only somebody to point out my faults and say, hey buddy, you need to brush up on that and fix that. But also, what are you doing with what God has put in your hand? Are you with me? Okay. And then a part of that ministering to one another, part of that accountability and a part of that fellowship of the saints is the place where we extend our faith for somebody else's breakthrough. So the place when I'm walking the road with someone in small group or in church, and the place of, that's I suppose also a place of ownership, where I come to the point where I'm interceding for somebody else's breakthrough. I'm extending my personal, I'm putting a personal faith goal out for somebody else. So, okay, I need a car or I need a job, but I'm going to trust God for that guy's job first. Then something happens in our hearts because we connect with God in a different way when we stand in the gap for one another like that. Even more so, I'm trusting God for someone's salvation. I'm standing in faith for someone to know Him. Amen? That's a part of that. Such a key in that first establishing phase is to be in a body, to be established, to be planted in a local church. Isolation is a killer. Okay, we won't go into that in detail now. But I can tell you now, you can look at the Christians that you know that aren't in a body, and you will know we're not designed to operate like that. We're not designed to be out there on our own. Okay. Let's stand this evening. We're just going to close, and then we're going to pray. So we looked at, firstly, the foundations of spiritual growth built on obedience to the Word. And then those three very key things for the first stage is to be established in the faith, to be established in the Word, to be established in the community, in the church of believers. And yeah, the question I'm asking for us tonight, and I reckon this is, we're going to look at more detail in the year at some of these things, but one of the key things, like I mentioned, is for us to grow in me being a disciple, but also becoming a disciple that makes disciples. So I want to ask, is your life stormproof? Are you building in a way that is going to last? Are you, when you build into somebody else's life, how are you doing that? How are we building? Interestingly enough, when we started the church in Johannesburg, when we arrived there, obviously you didn't have a time frame when you arrive in a place. And to be honest, it takes some time to plant a church. But to be honest, in the back of my mind, I just had this feeling it's not going to be long. And it turned out we're only there for 3 years. But I was kind of, as we were settling into things there in Johannesburg, the Lord just challenged me with something. He said, like, you need to build in a way like you're going to be here for the rest of your life. You need to pray and invest in people's lives. And what you do, you need to do as if you're going to be here forever. And that, and this is what he was talking about the way we build. Even though somebody else might take over the building project next year, you know, in my relationships to people, in building the church, establishing what God wants to do, we need to do it in a way that it will last. In the same way, you know, how are we investing in relationships? How are we pouring ourselves into other people? Is it the, you know, whatever, I'm only going to be here for a year or two, then I'm going to go off somewhere else? Or is it, yes, I'm going to build. It's going to last forever. What is your life looking like? What is my life looking like? Or are there some cracks that I need to address in the foundation? And how am I building into somebody else? Am I building into somebody else? Am I, you know, we've got some parents. How am I starting that process right here in my own house? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, even as in your scripture, Lord, that you want us to be building on the rock. You want us to hear the word and to obey, to walk in obedience, Lord, to work, to implement, Lord. And tonight, we humbly come to you, Lord. We recognize that sometimes we hear and we do not do. And we repent of that, Father. And we thank you for a desire, Lord. We thank you for a boldness to follow you this year. We thank you for a passionate obedience, Lord, to what you show us, to what you tell us. As a body together, Lord, as individuals, I thank you, Lord, even tonight, Lord, that you remind us of things that you've convicted us of, Lord, and that you bring us back to words that you've given us, Lord, that we might walk in obedience to what you've told us, God. Now, even now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd bring to remembrance some things, and I just feel that for some of us here, God will not move forward with you unless it will take you back to that last instruction, that last step of obedience. And so maybe some of us here are frustrated with our growth and are frustrated with our relationship with God. And I just feel for one or two of us, that's the key to say, okay, Lord, where did I miss you? Where did I ignore? Where did I avoid what you were asking me to do? And I thank you, Lord, for the grace, Lord, to go back, Lord, and to obey and to walk in that passionate obedience to what you call us to do, God. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to make disciples, God. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that we can be your disciples. Not only that, Lord, we can be disciples that make disciples. Lord, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this year, Lord, that is what we're trusting you for, that you'd establish in us, Lord, a culture, Lord, a lifestyle, Lord, of walking the road together, of investing in one another, Lord, and establishing one another, stirring up love, stirring up good works, Lord, for the glory of your name, for the establishing of your kingdom, Lord. I thank you, Lord, even now that you've placed people around us, each of us, Lord, people that are ready, even some to take the first step, some to go forward on the road, but you've put people around every one of us that we can walk with, Lord, that we can pour our lives into, that we can build into. And I thank you for grace. I thank you for wisdom, Lord, to build in a way that will be pleasing to you, Lord, will be bring honor to your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you. I just pray even now, Lord, even this week, that you open our eyes, that we would see those that we can build into, Lord. And Lord, that you would show us where our foundations are weak, Lord, that we would be able to fortify, be able to build on the rock, Lord. We would walk in obedience to your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen.